musical chairs.
Thank you. Thank you and welcome. Thank you all very much. Please sit down. Thank you so much and welcome to the White House, to your White House, for this celebration of the Goals 2000 education legislation and a celebration of a renewed commitment in America to our children and to their education and to our mutual future. I want to thank all of you for making this day possible. We could not have been here without every one of you. It was 11 years ago that we first heard the phrase, a nation at risk, in 1983. That report fueled an enormous amount of action at the state and local level. In our state, we had a governor who was committed to education as the route to both personal as well as community progress. And because of that commitment, I know I have some friends here from Arkansas who were stalwart advocates along with the governor. Because of that commitment, the then governor created a grassroots effort that culminated in groundbreaking legislation and far-reaching reforms. While that work was going on in Arkansas, there were many other states with progressive governors of both Democratic and Republican persuasion, leaders in the legislatures, school superintendents, teachers, parents, volunteers, business leaders, labor leaders, reaching the same kind of consensus about the need for reform and what that reform should consist of. In 1989, at a historic meeting of all the nation's governors with then President Bush at Charlottesville, the governors came together in a consensus and hammered out what were then six education goals for the future of America. They went beyond partisan politics, they went beyond ideology and the other obstacles that often prevent us from putting down our respective baggage and picking up the tools needed to solve America's problems. My husband, the president, was the chair of that effort on behalf of the Democratic governors, and as I recall, stayed up all night with some of you in this audience, hammering out the final goals and creating the document that would serve as the consensus statement. There had never been an effort like that in our country before. I can well remember in the early years of education reform, when I was chairing the group in Arkansas that came up with our recommended standards, going to school districts and talking with teachers and principals and parents who would say to me, well, you know, we do things our own way here. And I would ask in all naivete, well, is there a different way to teach algebra in this county than there is in the county across the way? And I often would be looked at with an expression that was, for me, memorialized when I walked into a superintendent's office one afternoon, and he sat there as I walked in to talk to him about standards, and I began about trying to say, we need to have some standards that all of our children can be judged on, that parents can participate in knowing what's expected, that teachers can set the standards for. And he pointed to a sign on his desk and he said, this is what I think about you and your husband. And the sign said, this too shall pass. Now, he meant something very different than I meant by the word pass. And The final result of all that grassroots efforts is that we passed education legislation in our state. And the final result of 11 years of concentrated efforts at the grassroots and community and state levels is that this Congress and this president have passed this legislation, which will benefit generations of children to come. And I am so grateful that so many leaders of the Congress who stood behind this in both parties over many years working together are here today to celebrate this passage. And it gives me great pleasure to introduce to you my friend, Tipper Gore.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much. All right. Well, thank you, Hillary. As you can see, we coordinated our colors today very well. Yeah. In preparing for this 60-second introduction of Secretary Reich, I was looking among all the things that he has done, and I really tried to identify one solitary accomplishment that distinguishes him. It was very difficult, but it didn't take long to discover that he has talked and thought and written about and probably dreamed about skill standards more than anyone else here in this room. And while this particular distinction would not win him any accolades in many groups, I know it wins him the highest accolades today in this room. And that's why we are here. We understand how important his thinking and his work is in creating the Goals 2000. So thanks in great part to Secretary Reich, students, teachers, and parents, and employers all around this great country will have standards by which they can gauge their progress. So without further ado, I give you a great man, a great dreamer, and someone who is seeing his dreams come into reality, Secretary Bob Reich.
Thank you so much, Tipper. When we talk about education, we talk about work. When we talk about work, we talk about education. The two themes are absolutely inseparable. You know, competitiveness is one of those terms that has gone from obscurity to meaninglessness without any intervening period of coherence. The real meaning of competitiveness has something to do with factories, yes. Something to do with equipment, yes. Something to do with capital, sure, and money. A lot to do with technology. But at its core, a nation's ability to be productive, a nation's ability to provide higher standard of living for its people depends fundamentally on its human resources. Fundamentally on the capacity of its people to be productive, to work together productively. Education and work are absolutely inextricably related. Right now, we have some very important foundation stones. We have Goals 2000, national skill standards, school-to-work opportunities. These are all major achievements because of the people who are sitting right here. They believed, they cared, they worked hard, and under the leadership of our president, they actually are there in law today. This really reflects a partnership. It reflects a partnership of business and labor and state and local governments and civil rights groups. It's an extraordinary partnership of people who have made the human resources of this country their objective, improving the human resources of this country, their objective. Business understands their future competitiveness depends on a labor force that is skilled. Labor understands if higher living standards are going to be in future accomplished, it has got to have the skills that are necessary. We have a partnership in the federal government as well. At the Labor Department, I was privileged to work with some extremely talented people who dedicated an amazing amount of time to this, the skill standards portion, in particular of Goals 2000, Leslie Lobel, Sally Sacker, Deputy Tom Glenn, others. But so many people in this audience, as I look out, also devoted their time and attention, and we all know it is just beginning. It is just beginning. Having these foundation stones in place are nothing but that. They are foundation stones. We build on the foundation, and we now have an opportunity to build on this foundation. And the Clinton administration's lifelong learning program, when we get a re-employment act that helps people to get new jobs, we will have all of the foundation stones right there in line. One of the people sitting up here who it gives me a special privilege to talk about, and I could go on talking about him until I even bored you, is a person that I've had an extraordinarily privileged time to work with over the past several months, over the past year and a half. I knew him before. I knew him as a great educator. He was also a governor. But what he accomplished in the state of South Carolina, along with the other governor, the state of Arkansas, was truly remarkable. Results of SAT scores rose substantially after the reforms that Dick Riley accomplished. Enrollments in tough courses like chemistry, foreign languages, doubled in South Carolina after the work that Dick Riley did. This man's dedication to learning, his dedication to the mind, his dedication to young people and making sure that they are prepared for the work is absolutely legendary. And I can also say from personal experience, this man is an absolute pleasure to work with, to be a comrade with, to be a partner with. This man has made all of this possible in the past 15 months. Richard Riley, Secretary of Education.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Thank you so much. Thank you all so much. Thank you. Thank you so much. And thank you. I've got a big family. I have, thank you all very much. I thank you, Bob. And I tell you, I think we ought to, first of all, really what we're here about is the fabulous Flying Fingers. Weren't they great? I'm telling you. Yes. I want to thank Bob Reich for the hard and effective work that he and other members of the Department of Labor did in Goals 2000 and School to Work. I also want to thank my staff that worked so very hard under the leadership of Madeline Cunin, the former governor of Vermont, my deputy secretary, Madeline. Dr. Mike Smith, undersecretary, is here. Mike, I see all of my other crowd over here, and I hope y'all don't mind if I don't call you by name, but thank you all very much. The fact is that, you know, we had the bill signing in San Diego on March 31st. You know, we had an April 1st deadline in order to get in this first year funding. And many of you who worked so hard didn't have a chance to attend the signing. And the president felt that it was very important to say thank you to you for your work. And so he arranged this celebration, and that's why we're here today. But we aren't the winners. The winners are America's school children. I think all of us here believe that. The size and enthusiasm of this crowd goes to show how many different individuals, groups that have worked to make Goals 2000 Act a reality. This was a monumental piece of legislation. All of us that have worked with it know that. Everybody here knows it. It's due more than anything else to this broad bipartisan coalition, support from parents and teachers, business, state and local superintendents, principals, labor, arts groups, governors, school board members, state legislators, community activists, congressional staff, and I see some of them out there that did such a great job, and of course, the members of the U.S. House and the U.S. Senate, and thank you all so very much for the great job you did. Now, Bob Reich has already thanked some of the general groups out there that were involved in turning Goals 2000 into law, and I share that with him. And it's very dangerous to mention a few names, but a couple of people that we called upon time and time again. One is Al Shanker. Is Al here? He's not here. Well, you tell him we mentioned his name. Al had an operation, and I really appreciate it. He's had a serious operation, and what a great educator he is, and you all be sure and tell him that we were thinking about him. Keith Geiger. Keith is here, the NEA. Joe Gorman, Business Roundtable. Joe is here. Joe, yeah. Bill Kohlberg of the National Alliance for Business. Bill, yeah, here. And Gordon Ambach is here with the Chief School Officers. Gordon, thank you so much. And thank everybody else. It meant so much to the effort. But the cooperation, the coordination, this really the coalition of all these different groups really is what made Goals 2000 happen. And that really is what the essence of government is all about. The kind of coming together for the betterment of our national community. I love that phrase, national community, Mr. President. I think that's probably what your administration is all about. That's what we should all be about, is having a national community. In the few precious minutes that I have to speak about education reform, I pondered about what words would best portray the situation. Something that President Václav Havel of the Czech Republic, former freedom fighter there, recently wrote about his own nation, I think reflects this aspect of working together that we talk about. Time and again, he said, I've been persuaded that a huge potential of goodwill is slumbering within our society. It's just that it is incoherent, it is suppressed, confused, crippled, and perplexed, as though it does not know what to rely on, where to begin, where and how to find meaningful outlets. The same observation, I think, can be made about education in America. Havel goes on to say, but we have a duty to awaken this slumbering potential, to offer it direction, to encourage it and give it room and simply hope. I really believe that's what we've done for education in America through Goals 2000 Act, and I thank you all for that. We've created a way for the citizens of this country operating within their own communities, their own states, to shape and improve their schools, to awaken this slumbering potential of our nation, to create a better future for our young people. It's a bottom-up reform, as you know, reinforced with the support and leadership from the top. It's challenging standards for all children that drives us to develop rigorous curricula, improve ways of measuring educational progress. And high academic standards, if you stop and think about it, are character builders, a way for children to learn honesty, to learn hard work and responsibility. It encourages parents and children to work together on education. As we know, strong families make strong schools. Bottom-up reform means that Goals 2000 will work only if the local communities, educators and parents, students, business, community leaders, foundations, school reformers, higher education, others are all involved and are in the center of the reform process. For only in that way can we ensure that all of the children all of the children, no matter how rich or how poor, no matter what his or her background might be, all will be able to learn to higher standards. And only in this way can we end this tyranny of low expectations with which so many of our children are saddled and burdened down with. We are so lucky to have with us today representatives from 8 different education success stories across the country, each of which offers us a model of excellence in education. These initiatives, and you'll shortly hear a brief description of each from them, can offer the initial spark that will ignite reform for the thousands more such programs across the nation and help us reach the 8 national goals. And now I'd like to begin the introduction of the 8 initiatives that are here representing these 8 goals. Please hold your applause till they all 8 are finished, till they have made their presentations. The first goal, as you know, is that all children must arrive at school ready to learn. I have the pleasure to introduce the first initiative, and then the other 7, by the way, will follow without further introduction. The first one is from nearby Prince George's County at the Glen Arden Even Start Center. Yvette Peoples has gone through the program herself and through it has just learned to read. She now works at Even Start and has a child who graduated from there. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a pleasure for me to introduce someone who truly understands and appreciates the importance of learning and why all people need to be given the chance to learn. Yvette Peoples, Readiness for School. Yvette.
Good afternoon. My name is Yvette Peoples, and I have 7 beautiful children. I have Laura and Larry Jr. Peoples with me now. This is my son, Larry, and this is my daughter, Laura. I am Even Start student. I attended Even Start. The reason why I attended Even Start, but I had problems. I had problems reading and spelling. It was hard for me to write a check. It was hard for me to read my bills. It was hard for me to read a story to my children. And as time went on, I was disappointed in myself because I wasn't able to do these things for my children. I knew how it was when my sons and daughters wanted me to read them a story. So I took out a tape recorder and literally made up my own stories because I knew it was important for my children to have reading time to them because I was their first teacher. Then as time went on, as I learned in the Even Start program how to read and spell, I was able to label things around the house for my children to learn how to read. Then I literally took paint and painted the ABCs and the numbers upon the walls for them to learn. And then as time went on, with my reading gotten better, and I was able to write a check, read my bills, and write letters and read newspapers. And then as time went on, I was able to work into the Even Start program with the preschool children to teach them. And now what I do with them, I take the word red and write it in the letters red, and they know the word red when they see it. They know the word yellow when they see it. I teach them the days of the week. They know their numbers, they know their letters. I even have them to learn how to read some of the words if I have time, if they don't want to play before then, to because they have so much energy. And then after that time, I spend time reading stories to them. And every Thursday, I have time to take them on to the library for them to read. At the library, they have story time. And then when they come back, I take the same book and read to them. And I'm proud of myself more so because I can teach my children how to read. Their grades have gotten real better because they learned how to read more reading, spelling, their math, English, geography have gotten better. Their grades have came up. And now my daughters and sons tell me, Mommy, every time I turn around, you're writing something. So I enjoy writing now. it's just proud. I'm proud to be here to tell my story because I want every man, woman, and child to know that it's not to be ashamed of that you cannot read or spell, that if you need help to go on and get your help. Because I know that by me being my child's teacher at home, I am to teach them how to read, teach them their self-respect, teach them to go on to be in college because I know they are our future. And I teach my oldest son to go on and stay in school, not to drop out so they wouldn't have to go through what I went through. It was a hard struggle, but I want to say that I want my children and everyone else's children, every children in the United States, to be able to read before they go to school. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Sol Bentley. I'm from Santa Fe, New Mexico. And these are my two friends, Rachel and Asus. And Rachel and I are in eighth grade and Asus is in 10th grade, but we already know that it is important for us to graduate from high school. School and life can be really hard and challenging sometimes, but I'm lucky to have my family, friends, and a local program run by La Nueva Vida called Comunidad y Cultura. This program has helped me understand things and make the right decisions about life. I know some kids drop out of school, but I also know that that's the wrong choice to make. And with all this help, nothing's going to stop me from graduating high school and going on to college. Thank you.
My name is Denise Lopez. I'm the student body president at Fauché Middle School in South Central Los Angeles. I'm here with Dakita Claiborne. We call our school Fabulous Fauché because Fauché faculty, parents, and community know all students can learn. They hold us to high standards by offering courses like college skills, geometry, and science through the Pre-College Enrichment Academy at the University of Southern California. We receive the support to help us reach our goals and realize our dreams. My next big challenge is college, and within 10 years, I will be a doctor.
Hello, I'm Chloe Kisverde, and I'm here with Eric Krangis. We're student staff members at the Coastal Studies and Technology Center at Seaside High School in Oregon. We're taking part in a variety of innovative projects at our center. We investigate everything from local wetland restoration to global climate monitoring, using the entire community to do research and experiments. Our results are often used by the local government and businesses to solve real-life problems. For example, we've collected data with the National Marine Fisheries Service, which will be used to influence whether the Army Corps of Engineers modifies the South Jetty of the Columbia River. Mr. President, this program is helping us not only to be better students, but to be responsible citizens as well.
From Erie County, New York. I'm 60 years old, and I had a good job out at a local aerospace plant. And after 28 years out there, I felt pretty secure. But suddenly, I lost my job out there and on a permanent layoff due to a massive downsizing of the plant. And thanks to the Gateway Program, sponsored by New York State and run by a local college, Niagara County Community College. I was fortunate enough to enroll in a telecommunication program. And through the Jobs Training and Partnership Act, they paid for all my schooling, books, tuition, mileage back and forth to school. And part of the course I had to do some intern work at a local hospital, DeGraff Memorial Hospital, and after about 5 or 6 weeks of intern work, they hired me as a biomed technician, and now I have a real challenging job out there, and was only through this program that I was able to get hired at this hospital. And I guess I'm living proof you really can teach an old dog new tricks.
Hi, my name is Kevin Lee, and I am here with my friend Jasmine Webb. We are fourth graders at the William E. Russell School. We are involved in a program called ECSS, Empowering Children to Survive and Succeed. In this program, we learn tools such as self-control, self-confidence, responsibility, thinking and problem-solving, and cooperation. In our program, we have self-control time. It's when we close our eyes, breathe in through our nose and out through our mouth, and say the word self-control. That slows down our hearts and has us use our words instead of our fists. It's up to me and you to make sure our neighborhoods are safe and drug-free.
Professional development for teachers is a basic requirement for any kind of education reform. It is impossible to change our schools without finding ways to share knowledge among teachers, those who are at the heart of change. My name is Paul Dillenberger, and I am a mathematics teacher at Franklin Middle School in Minneapolis, and I'm here with Beryl Jackson, a teacher from the District of Columbia. We are involved in a national project that is sharing information among teachers about exciting ways to teach mathematics. PBS MathLine gives teachers opportunities to learn from each other by distributing videotapes of innovative lessons from real classrooms and by promoting discussions among teachers via the computer. But the real beneficiaries of the program are the children. It is personally exciting for me to see children involved in and turned on to mathematics as a result. MathLine is one model of professional development that can help teachers deliver on the promise of a world-class education for every child.
Hi, my name is Sandra Oka from Atlanta, Georgia, and like many of you, I have a daughter in school. As a parent, Bethany's education is terribly important to me, and I've noticed the more aware and supportive I am of her schoolwork, the more she accomplishes in class. Bethany has attention deficit disorder, and sometimes it is harder for her to get organized and plan her homework. At Inman Middle School, we have an information line and electronic mailbox system called Class Notes. I use this system to keep track of her homework and school events. It is so important and helpful for me to be in regular contact with my daughter's teachers. Most importantly, this partnership enables me to give Bethany the support and encouragement she needs to succeed. Thank you.
I think I was so impressed, and I thank you all very much, and I know, let's all give them another hand, of the students, the parents, the teachers, all of them. They show you all represent this kind of innovative spark that can make Goals 2000 work. I think all of you will agree that initiatives like these are our models for our schools, and with this kind of thing, I think we can really get on our way to reaching these high goals. But it will take all of us working together. All aspects of improved learning, more parent involvement, better professional development, better assessment, better use of time, better use of technology, more partnerships with communities and business, all geared toward high academic standards. It will involve really reinvention of education as we know it. I don't know if any of you, many of you, some of you I know have seen the recent study, Prisoners of Time. and it called the time available in a uniform 6-hour day and 180-day year the unacknowledged design flaw in American education. Goals 2000 turns that whole system around, and it makes learning these high standards, not time, the constant in the equation. And it frees us up then from these unyielding shackles of antiquated education system that we have. Time is the constant now, and learning has to be moved around. And now it's a great pleasure for me to present a person who has been an integral part of the administration's highly successful efforts to reinvent government and reinvent education. Vice President Al Gore not only understands the importance of a world-class education to our nation's future, he knows that we need to use the most advanced means possible to make sure our young people get the best possible education. He has challenged this nation to link up every classroom to the information superhighway, to make sure that all schools are computer ready, that all students are computer literate, and all educators are comfortable with the high-tech tools of teaching. It's a special pleasure for me to present to you the Vice President of the United States, Al Gore.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that advice. Ladies and gentlemen, to the President and the First Lady, Tipper and I are proud to be with those who are really responsible for this outstanding accomplishment here today. I want to especially acknowledge Secretary Riley and Secretary Reich, and also Secretary Bruce Babbitt, who is here and worked as a governor also back when the governors were putting this together, along with former Governor Jerry Beliles. There may be others that I have not seen here. I want to especially acknowledge those in the Senate and the House who have been the keys to bringing this to our country. Senator Ted Kennedy, Senator Claiborne Pell, Senator Paul Simon, his wife Jean is here, Senator Paul Sarbanes, Congressman Billy Ford, Chairman Billy Ford, Congressman David Bonnier, the Majority Whip, Congressman Dale Kildee, who played such a key role, and Congresswoman Patsy Mink, Congressman Donald Payne, Congressman Tim Petrie, Congressman Jack Reed, Congressman Tim Romer, Congresswoman Nancy Pelosi, Congresswoman Jolene Unsold, Congresswoman Rosa DeLauro, Congressman Buddy Darden. Again, there may be others who... The governors of Puerto Rico and the Virgin Islands are here also. There may be other members of Congress who are here. I apologize if I have not acknowledged you personally. Let me say that Goals 2000 is, as you have already been able to easily tell, a real passion of Secretary Riley and Secretary Reich, as well as the President. And after listening to these educators and learners, you can see why, because this legislation being celebrated here today is not an exercise in rhetoric, whether for a 6-year-old or a 60-year-old, whether for a mother getting her children ready for school on day one, or an eighth grader resisting the temptation and pressure to drop out, whether a student from Massachusetts or a student from Minnesota, Goals 2000 will make a difference in the lives of Americans. And it is at the heart of what Goals 2000 is all about. It defines a new partnership between the federal government and states, between local communities and individual schools. It is our way of saying, if you agree to raise standards and expectations for your students to a world-class level, we will help. We'll help develop standards. We'll help provide funds for you to develop your own. We'll provide waivers from statutory requirements getting in the way. And there are other ways that Goals 2000 is an example of the reinvention effort. We talk about a lot about cutting through rigid departmental lines and the barriers between different programs and creating functional departments or virtual departments to focus on specific problems important to the nation. And Goals 2000 has done just that. It is pulling staff from all of the existing program offices and getting them to talk together and work together. We're crossing the boundary lines between different levels of government as well, and between government and the private sector. And when it comes to academic standards and occupational skill standards created through Goals 2000, we've certainly broken down the barriers that used to exist between the Department of Education and Department of Labor, a tribute to these two secretaries on stage here. When we talk about streamlining the bureaucracy and cutting paperwork, let me just point out that less than 4 weeks after the bill was signed, the Department of Education sent an application form out to the states. I brought a copy of it here because the President asked me to keep an eye on reinventing government. And this is the that's the cover sheet and the letter, the cover letter. Here's the form right here. Now, compared to what you used to get from the federal government, that's quite a change. Also, we talk a lot about reducing regulation. There were those who argued that we needed a bunch of new regulations for Goals 2000. We've opted to implement the heart of Goals 2000, the grant program, without issuing any new regulations, not a single one. You've heard the old phrase, two steps forward and one step back. This is several steps forward and then some more steps forward. And we're going to try to make that program work without adding any new regulations in the future. Cutting paperwork, eliminating bureaucratic rules, working as a partner instead of trying to be a boss. These are some of the ways that Goals 2000 is trying to help people help themselves. It truly is government at its finest. I'd like to say one other thing before turning to my main task of introducing the President. We've been here 16 months now, and when I think back on it, as I do every now and again, what I remember is a series of very tough battles and a lot of bitter attacks, alternating with a whole series of celebrations of victories like this one, getting things done for the American people. I'd just like to say Tipper and I and the First Lady just came back from the historic transition in South Africa, where they accomplished change in such a dramatic fashion. But we look at the difference between the way our country approaches change of the kind this represents and the way other countries, too many of them around the world, just don't change and they let things go. I think one inevitable lesson is this: when change is allowed to be put on the back burner and it doesn't happen and things just stay the same, tensions build up and passions build up. And then when the time for the change comes, oh, there's all kinds of bitterness and conflict and struggle. And eventually, if you have good leadership, it comes. And we've been bringing a lot of change under the leadership of this President. And you know, this particular victory is one which, as the First Lady said, he's been involved with for a lot longer than just 16 months. As one of the governors, he helped to lay the foundation for this. And these members of Congress helped lay the foundation for this and a lot of other things. And that's how come we have been able, during the last 16 months, to have a lot of celebrations like this one for changing things for the American people for the better. And this is one of the greatest of all, thanks to the leadership of the person I present to you now, the President of the United States, Bill Clinton.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you so much. Mr. Vice President, Mrs. Gore, Secretary Riley, Secretary Rice, Hillary, distinguished members of Congress and educators, business and labor leaders, church leaders, community leaders. Ladies and gentlemen, as I look out at this crowd, I see people in this audience with whom I was working on these problems more than a decade ago. I see people who have lectured me about what we had to do. Probably more than half of you have lectured me about what we had to do. I see my good friend Marion Wright Edelman over there. When Hillary was the board chair of the Children's Defense Fund, they said, well, you can't have these national education goals unless all kids start school ready to learn. Well, this is part of it. Now, when we make sure they all have health care, we'll know they're ready to learn when they start. There are people here who work with me in the Education Commission of the States and the Southern Regional Education Board and the Carnegie Council. There are people here who've written books that I have read and learned from, whose lives have been a real inspiration to me. I'm hesitant to mention any of them, but I see Mark Tucker and Ernest Boyer, and I read their books, and now I'm trying to sell them. I read Governor Kunin's book, too. It's really good. But if you'll forgive me a personal indulgence, I'd like to recognize one man who has been through a particularly painful time in his own life, whose work has graced American education everywhere, our friend Jim Comer from Connecticut. Please stand up and be aware. Thank you, sir. I see Mike Cohen and Gloria Cave, who stayed up all night with us in Charlottesville when we were writing the national education goals. All of you here today, I mean, I can barely contain myself, you know. Here you are clapping for things that matter. I mean, here you are. Here we are, all of us, the members of Congress, without regard to party, celebrating something that will move America forward. This is why I ran for president. Not to pull this country to the right or the left, but to move it forward, to get people together, to cross the divide, to face the problems, to deal with the issues. And, you know, in the next decade, more than 7 million children will enter our nation's schools. That's the largest number since my crowd started. I'm the oldest of the baby boomers. That means that we have an especial responsibility to make sure that we have done everything we possibly can to guarantee real freedom and opportunity to our people through an education for all that will enable our people, without regard to their race, their income, their standing in life, or where they happen to live, the chance to compete and win, to live up to their God-given capacities. That's what all these goals mean. These goals were just a way that people could put into words what it would mean if we actually produced results which guaranteed us the kind of educated citizenry that will keep America strong, leading the world well into the 21st century. We insist with Goals 2000 that every student can learn. We insist that it's time to abolish the outdated distinction between academic learning and skill learning. We know now that most academics has practical application, and that more and more practical problems require academic knowledge. And I hope to goodness we don't do anything else. We finally erase that divide so that we can teach our young people to learn in the way that best suits their own capacities and the work they have to do. This law tells us that we need a national mobilization for education reform, but that it has to be carried out at the grassroots level. The President, the Secretary of Education, the Secretary of Labor, well, we can work together, but we have to put you in charge. A lot of you have heard me say this for a decade because I've had the chance, I guess, to be in more schoolrooms than any person who ever was able to serve as president. But I am absolutely convinced that there is not a single solitary problem in American education that has not been solved by somebody somewhere. Now, that's the truth. And the longer you live with this, and the longer you spend time with teachers and kids and parents, and the more schools you visit, the more you know that is true. What we have done as a nation is to resist learning from each other, to resist institutionalizing change, to resist, therefore, holding ourselves accountable for results as a nation. Many of us who were governors have tried our darndest to do that at the state level, and we found that even in every state, people would repeatedly resist learning from each other, borrowing from each other, capturing each other's best ideas. The founding fathers are as smart a group of people as we ever got together in this country. And the seminar they had on how to get things done, which produced our Constitution, was just about as good as any we've ever attended. And when they conceived of the states as laboratories of democracy, they intentionally thought of a scientific model in which people would learn from one another what works and then build on it. What we try to do here with Goals 2000 is to say, here are the goals, you figure out how to get there, you learn from each other, come up with aggressive plans, we will help you fund them and go forward, but you are in charge. That is the sort of partnership the United States ought to be engaged in. The federal government can't tell you how to do it, but we can help you get it done. We do establish these national education goals. We also establish a skills standard board, and I want to thank the Congress for that. We do need to know what skills are required of our people and our workers in the competitive world in which we are living and the one toward which we are going. We do seek to create the information superhighway that the Vice President's always talking about to bring to bear technology in all of our classrooms. But behind all of this, there is a simple moral premise, and that is that the promise of educational opportunity and educational excellence is for everyone, and we are determined to fulfill that promise in this time. 40 years ago, tomorrow, the Supreme Court handed down its decision in Brown versus Board of Education. We are still striving to fulfill the promise of Brown. You can read articles that are accurate talking about how we have not fulfilled the promise. You can know that there is still inequality of opportunity. You can know that some places are more segregated than they used to be, but no one can doubt we are better off than we would be had that decision not been handed down. What this Goals 2000 movement, with the School to Work program, with the Adult Education program, with the retraining program and the reemployment program, what it all seeks to do is to give America a system by which, at the grassroots level, we can fulfill the promise of Brown versus Board of Education for all our people. Not a set of national rules and mandates, but a national set of goals, of objectives, and a sparking of an enormous grassroots reform effort all around this country, which will lead in every community in this country, in every school in this country, in every learning environment, to more responsibilities for principals and teachers, to the courage for people who think they need to try new experiences and new experiments, everything from charter schools, to other forms of management, that will give teachers, in many cases, the chance to teach other teachers and to engage in operating their own schools more, that will bring parents into these schools where they have been shut out. But I will say again, in order to make this work, we have to both foster reform and foster a humble, willing, listening attitude that permits us to learn from one another. The founding fathers knew that was one of the great strengths of establishing state governments and making us what we are as a federation with national, state, and local governments. We must remember this. Goals 2000 is a new way of doing business in America. It represents the direction our government must take in many problems in the 21st century. But I know the reason it has a good chance to work is because of you and the thousands and thousands like you who've been out here working on these same issues that are finally codified in law for 10 or more years. I thank you for that. Please leave this place with a determination to make this law fulfill its promise. Thank you, and God bless you.